an unending truth. Shakyamuni Buddha. Phenomena are preceded by the heart, ruled by the heart, made of the heart. If you speak or act with a darkened heart, then suffering follows you as the wheel of the cart, the track of the ox that pulls it. Phenomena are preceded by the heart, ruled by the heart, made of the heart. If you speak or act with a calm, bright heart, then happiness follows you, like a shadow that never leaves. That person insulted me, hit me, beat me, robbed me. For those who brood on this, hostility isn't stilled. That person insulted me, hit me, beat me, robbed me. For those who don't brood on this, hostility is stilled. Hostilities aren't stilled through hostility, regardless. Hostilities are stilled through non-hostility. This is an unending truth. Unlike those who don't realize we're here on the verge of perishing, those who do, their quarrels are stilled. So this is an excerpt that can be traced to the Dhammapada. An ancient teaching, one of the earliest, and one of those traced to Buddha himself, of course written down hundreds of years after he perished, but very similar teachings found in other, around different parts of India, in northern India, there were written down separately, and consequently, many people feel that these are some of the closest teachings to his original words. It's just lovely to sit here this evening with you, for me. I'm really appreciating the evening. Appreciating the chance to practice together in this beautiful space on this lovely evening. And to join in together in this profound act of sitting and walking. As we were just walking around the Zendo together, for me, I was feeling just how enormously healing this practice is, how sweet it is. I have this coffee mug that recently bought that says, "Let that shit go," and makes me laugh. But sometimes practice can feel that way, like you just let all that shit go. And here you are placing one foot in front of another in the Zendo and just feeling complete and whole. The root of the word heal, the Greek root of it means to be made whole. And I think there really is something to this. We have these minds that brood. We have these minds that do all kinds of interesting things and wonderful things. They imagine, they come up with beautiful ideas, and sometimes they brood. Sometimes they get stuck in loops. This is what it is for many of us anyway, to just be alive. We have these brains that sometimes fixate. I wonder sometimes if there's something really protective about the way our brains tend to work. You know, we evolved in tribes. We still exist in tribes, don't we? We tend to define ourselves in alliance with some and against others. This is the me versus others phenomena, us versus them phenomena. I think it's partly why we love team sports so much and politics and war. This way that our mind divides, right? This is what the mind does. This is what thinking is. And it has enormous potential, and it also can cause a lot of pain. I think many of us, when we come to practice, we come with certain wounds, many of them perhaps not completely felt or not quite seen. Practice at first can sometimes feel quite difficult because we may come even because we have recently been hurt or wounded or perhaps because we've been struggling with some kind of pain or something that feels really deeply unresolved, and we hope that practice can help with that. And I really think there is some good news in this practice. I think that sometimes these pains, they do kind of live in the cells of our body, and they just need to metabolize. They need to be seen. They need to be held in the warm embrace of a witness who is yourself and Sangha. So this practice is one of bearing witness, one of compassionate witness to oneself and to one another. And sometimes I think we feel that when we're here in the Zendo. We really feel the way we are held. We are witnessed and held in our practice as we just sit and walk around the Zendo together. And somehow we feel like our wounds are held by something bigger than ourselves for once, instead of just us fretting over them and brooding over them in this private little space of our brain. Somehow we open up to being held by something bigger than ourselves. Now, this is what it is to be made whole, to open beyond the way that we have thought of ourselves. You know, we have this way of brooding, this way of telling our story to ourselves over and over. I think there can be something wonderful about telling our story. It's very important to, you know, sometimes telling our story is what gives us the courage to feel our feelings in the first place. We don't know where they're coming from, and then we can finally name it. And there's such enormous power in that. But we can get stuck in that. And I think that's what's meant by this word brood. We kind of identify with our story, create a self out of it. Sometimes when we're sitting, that created self just seems to fall away. The falling away of body and mind. You know, we are left holding nothing. And the sweetness of that, the openness of that, the receptivity of that. And then, you know, back comes our narrative about who and what we are and where we fit in the world and where we don't fit and what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with everything and how we can work on it, etc. And in all these ways, we can start to get trapped again in the story, in the repetition. And we might feel that it hurts compared to the sweetness that we may have experienced with, you know, when everything seemed to fall away and we were just here, just open and free of all that. And then this might set up a kind of striving in us. You might think, well, I just need to shut off my brain and I'll be happy. And of course, that's not possible, nor is it true. The practice is not to be at war with ourselves either. So I sometimes find these kinds of readings so helpful. The person insulted me, hit me, beat me, robbed me. For those who brood on this, hostility isn't stilled. You know, it's so interesting because it begins how phenomena are ruled by the heart. For me, this brings up the skandhas and the way that we might say there's form, sensation, perception, mental reaction, consciousness. These are variously translated. But we might think of this as sort of causal, right? The first thing is form. Then there's a sensation of the form, right? Then there's my perception of it, like what I make of it. Then there's, you know, on and on. Sometimes they include feeling as one of the skandhas. They're variously named, as I've said. So it's interesting to hear in this statement that there is, it almost sounds like a first cause, doesn't it? Preceded by their heart, ruled by the heart, made of the heart. Phenomena are made of the heart. Okay, now we know we're in different territory here. This is not just a causal kind of thing. In the same way that forms are, for us, made of sensations, sensations are made of forms. It's not a one-way street. Everything interdependently arises. And the Buddha is naming this here in this piece, saying, when we brood, hostility isn't stilled. When we get stuck in our narration and in our definitions of ourselves, or in our definitions of others, or in our definitions of our lives, in our definitions of the world, in our definitions of political parties, in our definitions of another people's, like I could go on and on, right? When we get stuck, when we brood in these places, hostility isn't stilled. We suffer. And we cause suffering in the world. And then this possibility, that person insulted me, hit me, beat me, robbed me. For those who don't brood on this, hostility is stilled. So this brooding, what is this brooding? Certainly there's a mental formation aspect of that, right? A perception aspect of it. A way of thinking that's involved. So again, we might think, well, I'll just stop brooding. But often we don't really have that capacity. It could take years to stop brooding over something. Many years. So if you find yourself, you know, brooding, don't worry, you're not alone. I think that sometimes practice for many years is just sitting and brooding. There's this great this story of someone who went and visited Japan, you know, for the first time and saw all these monks meditating there in the courtyard and was really struck by it and thought, had all mystical ideas about what was going on and asked, you know, the person who was the head teacher, tell me, what are they doing? And he said, oh, they're sitting around thinking. Funny, quite down-to-earth description of meditation. So, you know, for me anyway, it's not necessarily about getting to that place where nothing arises. But it is possible to see into the emptiness of phenomena. You know, we chant the Heart Sutra every week. When people have been asked, what is the most important teaching of Buddhism? It has often been said that the most important teaching is that emptiness is exactly form, and form is exactly emptiness. This possibility through our practice to realize the emptiness of form, not the non-existence, not the reified existence, the simple presence of what is. Quite a mysterious presence. We try to actually hold on to thoughts and we can't. Yet we also can't make them go away. But our thoughts are actually quite slippery. Our feelings ever shape-shifting. And as we come to see that, we begin, I think, on some level to see that there actually isn't anything that we even can hold on to. It's like it pops a hole in the balloon. Just kind of blows out. The balloon blows out. Let the air right out. The air of our blown up thinking. How important it is, how important we are, how important our story is. How much effort it actually takes to keep recreating it over and over and defend it. So yeah, I sometimes think that in the big picture there is the sense that initially as we practice we are witnessing things, witnessing wounds and also thought patterns, ways that we have responded and protected ourselves and done these things that we have needed to do to survive in the past, and we begin to see those things in the way that they no longer serve us. This alone can take a long, long, long time for us to just see these things. And I think sometimes when we practice, it feels hard because we may be seeing things and realizing things about ourselves that are deeply painful. And then I think there's a quality of just, they say that the practice is also, you know, the wheel is spinning, but we're no longer actively spinning it anymore. There's a sense of it slowing down. The brooding slows down. The investment. Maybe we stop putting logs on the fire. We stop believing everything we think. It doesn't mean we're actively rejecting it either, because that's another belief. But we're just noticing thoughts coming and going. A little bit more ease, a little bit more freedom. And then maybe at some point we find ourselves just literally walking around the Zendo with no agenda at all, not trying to attain anything, not trying to stop anything, life just as it is, and so sweet and perfect, so lovely. Our life, meeting it, open, vast. Thoughts arising, thoughts passing away, but not really anywhere for them to stick. And of course, then we begin again. See something else. Bear witness to it. Get a little hooked on it. Watch it spin out. We start to develop a kind of faith in the practice. The beauty of it, this opening and closing of a flower that is yourself. The closing up, the constriction can feel sort of painful, but we just begin to trust that it's actually okay, that it's nature's rhythm as we move in and out of different circumstances. You think about someone who is very near death. Perhaps you have had such people in your life. For me, I think of my father, what it was like to be with him in his last month or two of life. I went to see him many times as he was approaching his death. And it struck me like a diamond how he had let so much shit go. How he was so focused on what really mattered to him in those final moments. I'm sure this doesn't happen for everybody, and maybe there was some grace involved, some love involved, something, I don't know. But he just kept saying to me and my brothers over and over, I love you, I love you, I love you. This is a person who had spent so much of his life fretting, feeling ashamed of his mistakes, struggling. We're here on the verge of perishing. Life is such a short and precious gift. When we realize this, perhaps our quarrels can be stilled.